Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
First and goal at the Dallas 8. Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, end zone.
Yeah!
Touchdown!
Oh, yeah!
Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the bat out of the fire. 22 seconds left to play.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And hey, everybody, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. As always, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Got lots of messages to read already. And, of course, email me, webradio@patriots.com. And, boy, this show today is going to be all about you guys. Don't have a lot of guests lined up. You never know what might happen in the future today. But right now, this is all about you. And that's what I want to hear from you, because I don't want to hear it from anybody from the national media. Again, it's beyond disgusting. I'm not aggravated. It's just now it's comical now. It's just comical. And like I said yesterday, I'm not asking for people to sit there and be Joe Homer towards the Patriots. And I'm talking about the national media and give praises, you know, just analyze the Patriots the same way you're analyzing the Giants. And nobody is doing it because they're freaking lazy or it doesn't fit their agenda. Amazing. By the way, those of you who heard Chad Ochocinco moments ago closing out the John Rook show, very, very interesting things what he had to say, despite the couple of F-bombs that he threw out there. But, hey, it's internet radio, so what the hell? Whatever.
Sorry to all our young listeners.
Yeah. Well, please. I'm sure it's nothing they haven't heard before. This isn't 1960. But I loved his comment. One of them was, he said, I can't believe I functioned like this year without running my mouth. And then he swore when he said, you know, F and A, right, I'll be back, because it was Steve Burton from Channel 4 that was asking the questions at the end about, you know, will we be back next year? And he's like, F and A, bleep, I'll be back next year. And, you know, he was asked, and it's questions I brought up to Bill, and it's questions that, you know, Burton brought up at the end of the interview about, you know, is this simply you haven't grasped the playbook? And he went on and on about him being intelligent, all that stuff. See, it's not an intelligence issue with me. I mean, it's obviously Chad Ochocinco is intelligent. That's not the problem. But there's got to be something here. Something is not right with him. Because somebody with that kind of talent, and I still think he's talented, the only thing it can be is not grasping the playbook. There is no other explanation. I know he went into details, you know, Patriots keep stuff in house and all that stuff, but I'm all for that. And I know when I tried to get something out of Bill last week when we had him on, and, you know, he wasn't going to bite on it. I thought it might be able to trick him into a little, you know, something. And I phrased it to him. It's not, I'm not saying, even then I said, not, it's not about his intelligence, but something is wrong here. You can't bring this guy in and have him play one play in a playoff game, have what, 14 or 15 catches all year, one touchdown. I don't know. I guess someday we'll find out exactly what it is. But the only thing it can be, I'm sorry, is that he's not picking up the playbook. He never played in the hurry-up, even at the beginning of the year. And to be as ineffective as he's been, or have been, actually I should say, for Tom to only target him as few times as he has this year, something's not right. Either Tom is not feeling the chemistry with him, or something. And I still don't know if he's going to be activated on Sunday. You know, I hope he is. I hope he is, and I hope he can make an impact. It's just hope. It's just false hope. I expect nothing. How can any of us sit here and expect Chad Ochocinco to do anything on Sunday? And man, I'll tell you, if he ever goes out there, if he comes up, you know, all of a sudden catches like 8 catches, 90 yards, a couple of touchdowns, The conspiracy theorists will, I mean, they will be, they'll have their own parade. Because there are a lot of people out there that are thinking the whole year that Chad is being saved as a secret weapon here for the Super Bowl. That the Patriots have been kind of stringing him along and saying all the right things. And, you know, I've learned in sports over the years, as I've said many times, that, you know, nothing is impossible. I would be freaking floored if Chad Ochocinco has some kind of a major impact in this game. I mean, I would be great. I'd be happy to come on here next Tuesday with a Patriots Super Bowl win and Chad Ochocinco, you know, has four or five catches for 90-something yards and a touchdown and say, I was wrong. I mean, the entire rest of the day. But I just can't come to that conclusion. And I'm saying I hope I am wrong when it comes to Chad. It would be great to see him out there to play in the Super Bowl, only to make an impact. I don't think Bill's going to do this. This is why I don't think Kevin Fox is going to address. And we won't know the inactives till a little bit later on the week. I'm not sure if it comes out 3 hours before the Super Bowl, just like it does in a regular season game, which would be about 3:30, 3 or 3:30. I forget how it works. They might actually announce them on Saturday. I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't think Ocho's going to play. I mean, I think it's very distinct possibility he may not play. And I don't think Kevin Falk is going to play either. But I know one thing. Bill is not going to, you know, I know Bill is always aware of sentimentality. He's much more sentimental than people want to believe. He's aware of records and all that stuff. And when it comes to his players, and he cares about that kind of sentimentality. But there is no way, in my opinion, Bill Belichick, for a Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl, is going to have any kind of sentimentality. This is all going to be about what players are best for this particular game to help them win another world championship.
Are you kidding me?
And that's right. And that's it. That's all it's going to be based on. And with that being said, I have no idea. It's just guesswork. Yes or no if Chad Ochocinco plays in this game. No idea whether he'll be active or not. You know, I can't believe, let's put it this way. Both he and Falk, I can't believe, are going to be active for this game. I can't see it. I can't see it.
Belichick gives Kevin Falk the nod over some defensive back.
No, I'm saying Kevin Falk might get the nod over Chad Ochocinco strictly to help in picking up, you know, chip blocking and blitz packages. But I thought that last week, too. I thought that last week against Baltimore 2 weeks ago that was going to happen. Didn't happen. Did you see Kevin Falk in that game?
Yeah. As much as I hate to admit it, I agree with you. I don't see Falk being active. I do see Chad being active, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of a sad way to see Kevin Falk go if he's not active and he doesn't come back because, you know, you look back at this past 10, 11 years, this great run, he's been a big part in it. And
of course he has. He's been huge. He's been one of the unsung heroes of this team. And
with the new wave of fans, with this second run of, you know, good play, second run of Super Bowl play, kind of forgetting about him.
Well, I mean, the games he was active this year, he was active for the Pittsburgh game, which I think kind of backfired on him a little bit. It didn't work out that well.
That was his first game back, right?
I think so, yeah.
Right off
that was
the
his
populace.
First game back, yeah. Right off the pup list. So a tough defense to go up, obviously, on the road that particular day. We all know what happened. It just wasn't, you know, it's probably the worst game they played all year. You know, they were on the field offensively for, you know, 19 minutes. So, again, it's going to be really, really interesting to see if Chad plays. If it's even, I'm talking about active. But I got to believe if he is active, then he has got to be part of some of this offense. Bill's not going to activate him for sentimental reasons, and just, you know, have him out there and smile and say funny things in the post-game press conference, hopefully after the Patriots win. So, you know, Bill is very, you know, he's very methodical. He's very precise. So if he thinks, I mean, that's why if I had to choose between one or the other, I'd probably have to put Falk in over him. That would be my choice. And I'm not saying it comes down to one of those two guys because there's always surprise. But, I mean, with Vollmer playing and Ridley playing, we find out, you know, you're talking about 46 people out of 53 that can play. It's too bad they don't allow 53 on the roster like they do in major. Somebody brought this up on it's one of the only good points I've heard all week from a national standpoint. It's too bad in the NFL they don't allow 53-man roster in the Super Bowl. But they don't. But it is really, it's mind-boggling to me. Chad Ochocinco may be one of the most puzzling people to ever be in uniform on this team. I can't figure it out. I can't get a read on it. Nobody, none of the players talk about it except to say good things about how hard he works in practice and, you know, not lazy or anything like that. They've said it's not, it's not grasping, quote unquote, it's not about him not grasping the playbook, but I don't see what else it can be. What else is there?
This may be crazy.
Mm-hmm. No crazy. No crazy theories on the show.
Kind of just throwing it out there.
Yeah, of course you
are.
Be like the national media. Go ahead. I'm just teasing.
Ouch. No. We heard him the past 2 days
talk
on how he had to change who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Do you think that might have gotten to him? Like, he might be
distracted.
He's psyching himself out. He doesn't have his whole head.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's all part of the mentality of grasping the playbook. You might be right. Maybe he needs that cockiness again. Maybe he needs to mouth off more
to
be
effective. He's had it the past 2 days.
That's basically what he said. He said he's changed his – but he says he's changed his attitude. I mean, he sounded great. He was very humble. I mean, he's saying all the right things. And maybe guys can't function like that. Some guys can't function like that. Although we saw Randy tone it down here too, you know. And, you know, the first couple seasons were fine. It got bad at the end, and I'm not saying Chad is Randy, but there isn't anybody on the planet that didn't think this guy was going to have a much bigger impact on this team. And I'm not saying, you know, welcome numbers, but, I mean, my goodness. I thought he'd be right there with Deion Branch. I thought they'd be kind of like neck and neck with receptions. I think I said at the beginning of the season during week one, I figured 40, 45 catches, couple touchdowns, you know, and maybe 500 yards, something like that. Not even close.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I had him about 50, 55.
Yeah, because of the weapon. You knew Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez were going to be the guys, and you just kind of split the difference between, you know, between Ocho and Branch and, you know, guys like Tyquan Underwood, Slater at times. It is mind-boggling to me. It baffles me. It angers me because I can't figure it out. I mean, the only conclusion I can come to is he does not grasp this playbook. Or Tom does not feel confidence in throwing him the ball. That's the only thing I can see. Because even the play games he was in, there were times, especially early on when he played, he wasn't targeted more than one or two times in the game. And it's
everyone sucks but me.
It's a combination of that. It's got to be a combination of Tom not having confidence in him, even though he'll never say that, and Ocho not grasping the playbook. That's all it can be. It's not physical. It's not a work ethic issue at all. It's just grasping the playbook issue. I mean, if anybody can come up with any other theories, feel free to let me know because I'm at a loss. I really am. Now, that all being said, I still sit here, and I am sitting here amazed once again. And you want a bold prediction? You want balls to the wall? Here's what I'm going to tell you right now, and I really believe this. I speak from my head and heart, okay? But when I come to analyzing this team, I'm speaking from the head, and I'm going to tell you this right now. Get ready. Write this one down. Patriots will have more sacks in this game than the Giants. Mark it down.
When news breaks,
you got
we
it.
Break it. Patriots.com radio.
Mark that one down. Not that sacks is any indication, however, because they can be overrated at times, like I've said during the year. But I am telling you right now, mark it down. The Patriots are going to have more sacks than the Giants in this game.
That's bold.
Mark it down. I don't think it's that bold.
Who do you think leads the way?
I think a bunch of guys could lead the way. I think it could be Ninkovich. I think Wilfork. I think Anderson. I think any of those guys. I think Mayo could come in and pass rush at times. I think there's a lot of different. Their front seven is nowhere near getting any respect at all in this game, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it because if you want to give the same praise to the Giants, who struggled for a whole part of this season, a big part of it. Then, you know, and you talk about, and you want to give them a pass because of They've won the last three games, and they won the last five games, and I picked them to win the last two regular season games. To play Stinky Sanchez and the Jets and Romo, who can't win in December at all, I don't think that was going out on a limb too badly. I just expected it. And I will give them credit for the – obviously, you give them credit for Atlanta, Green Bay, and San Francisco. And you have all these people who say, well, their road to the Super Bowl was a lot tougher than the Patriots, blah, 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 blah. Every road is tough to the Patriots. What I'm saying is, if the situation were reversed, trust me, nothing would have changed. Nothing would change. Because if you look now in the playoffs, in the postseason, and yes, the Giants have had one more game, if you look at the offensive numbers and the defensive numbers, the Patriots are better in every stat, just about, every one. But nobody talks about it. And somebody emailed me the numbers yesterday. I mean, it's still very close, but the Patriots are ahead. The Patriots had a better regular season. They've won 10 in a row. And if you want to wash away the Giants' regular season and the way their defense was shaky through most of the season to the way they're playing now, I grant you all of that. But you have to do the same thing for the Patriots. You have to. All I'm asking is to be consistent. And the way this defense is playing now, I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. They are going to be a tough bunch. And this front seven is going to get a lot of pressure on Eli Manning. And the big difference in this game is going to be, like I said, it's going to be Brady releasing the ball much quicker than he did. It's going to be a much different set of kind of offense than it was in 2007. It's not going to be a lot of 5 and 7 step dropbacks. It's going to be quick. Like I said, 59% of the passes against Baltimore released the ball in 2.4 seconds. And I don't think the Giants are going to have a difficult time. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I think the Giants are going to have a really difficult time. Now, conversely, I also think that Eli Manning will make his share of plays, too, in this game. It'd be stupid not to say that. He's going to make some plays. The Giants are going to get some points in this game. They're going to get yardage. And they have, they have a pretty good defense too. I'm not using the word great with either one of these teams for defenses. And we all know about the Giants front seven, but it's still not the same as it was in 2007. And you look how the Patriots offensive line handled Baltimore. You think Baltimore's defensive line is pretty damn good? I do. They did a real good job in that game. I just don't think, the only guy you hear about is Wilfork, and rightly so. So, the national media, they just will not be fair and analyze both sides of the football. The whole week so far, it's everything about what the Giants can do and what the Patriots will fail to do. It is embarrassing. National media should be embarrassed how they have not mentioned at all the Patriots' defense, the way they have played lately, just like they're doing with the Giants. They give the Giants all these free passes. I told you, they were 29th against the pass this year and last against the run. But like the Patriots, I throw those net yardage numbers out because it's about how and what you're doing now. And if you're going to praise the Giants, then you got to praise the Patriots. And you can't say 2 months ago about how Denver's defense was this big, formidable, it was going to be a big force heading into the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, because the Patriots won by 35, that it's all of a sudden sucks. And it's not just the inconsistent hypocrisy of the Skip Baylesses of the world who continue to embarrass themselves every single day on television, but it's a lot of other NFL people. Go back and look what they were writing about the Denver Broncos during that little winning streak that they had against pathetic offenses, as I said time and time again. And that's why I said here, I'm not buying into Denver's defense. I didn't say it sucked. I'm saying it wasn't anywhere near as good as people were making it out to be. But you go back and watch the shows and listen to the national writers and what they said about that defense, and now the hypocrisy is unbelievable. It was not, now they're a piece of crap. Now they were nothing. Patriots should have won by 35. Are you kidding me? Oh, but the Steelers lost that playoff game to Denver, so, I'm trying to figure it out. Which way am I supposed to go? Well, they held the Steelers to 20 points. One, because their defensive coordinator was an idiot. And that's fine. They took advantage of it. Give Denver credit. They took advantage of the idiocy of the of the defensive coordinator for the Steelers. But how does Denver's defense all of a sudden go from on the cusp of being really good to piece of crap? And you just disregard what the Patriots did in that game. They were still the number one rushing offense in that game. There were still many idiots out there that picked Denver to win. So, I mean, just the hypocrisy out there is just, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
Hey, Pete, just a quick, I know this is way off topic, but just a quick, you know, we like to keep fans informed around here. Tom Brady was a finalist for the FedEx Air Player of the Year.
Yes, he should be.
Did not win.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers win?
No, the awards went to Drew Brees and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly worthy.
That just came across, so I figured I'd let you know.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, that's great. You know, it's really too bad. And then the stuff on ESPN today, and the garbage about even just bringing up the topic about being overrated, about Brady being overrated, so silly. The guy was unanimous MVP last year. It is just frustrating as hell to watch the lack of analysis. And you would think with all these all these ex-players and coaches there, that they would just be able. All I'm asking for is analyze both sides of the ball. Even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, just analyze. You know, talk about what the Patriots front seven has done lately, especially the last month, and even in the Buffalo-Miami game, even when they trailed in that game or those two games early, they had phenomenal second halves. That counts for something. Let me give another example. Here's an email. It brings up another good point. Gene says, hi, Pete and Matt, and I'll get right to the phones here. I heard Colin Coward yesterday explain that for the first three quarters in the regular season, the Patriots had one of the best defenses in the NFL. He looked at each game, and when the Patriots had the lead, they went into the prevent defense, allowing teams to run up the yards and points in exchange for time off the clock. Pete, why is he the only one that can see what you have been saying all year? The Patriots had the number three defense in the league for three quarters this season. Just what you've been saying to Pats fans all year. I wish you could have heard him. You would have said, finally, someone in ESPN is telling the truth. Well, and I appreciate the kind words. It's just, to me, it's really simple. It's only people who are lazy who don't want to look at all the numbers because it goes against their little agenda, and it goes against the Patriots' hatred. It goes against all the prejudices they have. And by the way, those same kind of numbers probably apply to Green Bay and New Orleans as well. No doubt about it. That's why net yardage numbers don't mean squat for the most part. All right, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's the number to get in touch with me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also call me or also hit me up on webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. And Facebook me as well. I'll get to all those messages too. But first, let's head to the phones and get to Manny in Miami here. You're first up today on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Manny.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, my friend?
Very well. How are you?
I guess I'm on the same as you, man. I mean, this ESPN coverage about the Giants being like, you know, some sort of a great team. I mean, if you look back at the game that they played against the Pats, Brady still threw for over 300 yards.
342.
Still had over two touchdowns.
342, yeah. But they lost a turnover battle that day, which is why they lost.
Tom Brady still went right down the field.
I agree.
A touchdown to put him in the lead.
Why are people
talking about that?
I agree. I've said that. And, you know, and then Eli made some nice plays, but he was also helped out by penalties, including Sergio Brown's stupid, and it was the right call, stupid pass interference call for 25 yards that put the ball on the 1 yard line. So. But look, that game, but don't forget, Nick Stewart didn't play in that game for the Giants and Bradshaw didn't play in that game for the Giants. But defensively, it wasn't like the Giants came up with all these sacks and all these great plays against the Patriots. They came up with a couple, but that came down to the Patriots had the lead with 90 seconds to go. And, you know, unfortunately, they lost the game and that was their last loss.
Yeah. It's so funny how they say that the New York Giants defense is invincible. But last time I checked, Jermichael Finley, Greg, this wideout from the Packers, they draw passes all day. You know, so why isn't nobody ever talking about that? Like, if they would have actually made more plays, they actually could have been in the game more, and they probably could have won it.
Well, I said that. It sounds like I'm not saying the Giants shouldn't be there, because I think each team, I mean, you make your own breaks and you capitalize on other people's mess ups. But the Packers, it's a fact. They dropped a whole bunch of balls.
Yeah.
And if they caught half of those balls that game, it would be completely different. But they didn't. They didn't. The same reason Kyle Williams, you know, fumbled two.
Exactly.
Two punts.
He fumbled twice in his own end.
But,
and before he fumbled, the Giants offense wasn't doing anything.
No.
And as soon as he fumbled, they went down. They went right down and he scored. And then, of course, in the last drive, when he fumbled in overtime, they kicked the game-winning kick.
Yep.
But it's so funny how all of a sudden now their defense is invincible. Listen, every defense makes sacks. Every defense, you know, has his pros and cons. But what they're not realizing is, even though on paper the Patriots' defense could be the worst in the league, they've actually not given up as many points, and they're letting their offense actually score, you know what I'm saying? Which, at the end of the day, when you're a defense, you want to prevent, you know, points that way your offense can score.
No, I mean, I've been saying...
But people are not looking at that.
No, they're just
looking at this game like if it happened in 2007, the last Super Bowl, the Patriots, you know, I mean, their offensive line is not going to be able to block. Listen, Brady knows his thing, you know. He's going to figure out sooner or later where he can throw it, where he shouldn't. And I totally agree with you. If Tom Brady throws a pick, it's because he's going to throw a dart right at somebody in the hands, and it's going to go off a helmet or go off a jersey. But by God, he's not going to make sure that he loses this game on his hands. I'll tell you this right now, Pete.
I don't think it's going to end. Like I said, the points thing, I've been bringing it up all year long. The Giants were 25th in points allowed. The Patriots were 15th. You know, and if you take all the playoff numbers into consideration right now, too, even though the Giants have played one more playoff game, the Patriots are ahead in every stat. Every one. You know, it's close, but they're still ahead. But nobody wants to do that because they are claiming that the Denver Broncos defense sucks now. The same people that were saying how great it was or very good it was, you know, a month and a half ago. That's what bothers me more than anything. You know,
I'll give you a sleeper, even though he's fumbled his last two games. Steven Ridley, I believe with his speed, watch some screens happening. Hopefully he doesn't cough up the ball. But I believe also Danny Woodhead and Ben Jarvis will have a big part in this thing. All right, Pete.
All right, Manny. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I think the Patriots running game, that's another thing. You don't hear anybody talking about Ben Jarvis. You don't hear anybody talking about Woodhead or Ridley. And the Giants are going to have their hands full with the Patriots running game. I can't say the same for the Patriots having their hands full with the Giants running game. Certainly it's something you have to be concerned. You always have to be. You can't just, you know, ignore it. But the Patriots done a real good job of handling the rush this year for most games. They've done a more than adequate job. They're one of the better teams in the league. So I it doesn't bother me. They want Peyton to throw the same way. Even though Flacco ended up with those 300 and something yards, you know, a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. Let him throw. Let Eli throw. And I'll take my chance, because I just think this Patriots defense, the way they are playing right now, same way the Giants defense is playing right now, you know, I don't want to hear any more about what happened in 2007 or November. It doesn't matter. It's what this team is now. They are as healthy as they've ever been, with the exception of Gronk. And, by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, that's my pick for the MVP, is Gronk. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's my MVP pick. Yep, I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I've already had it with, and it's not out of spite, because I just think he's going to have a hell of a game. I really believe that. And you're hearing all the theories already about it. He's just going to be out there as a decoy, and he's just going to block, and he's a glorified blocker, and it's such a crock of crap. I heard that with Brady in 2001. I heard it with Terrell Owens in 2004. I heard it time and time again. And the only example you hear these knuckleheads bring up on ESPN is Dwight Freeney, because he had a high ankle sprain. And it stiffened up in the locker room. Well, that's one guy, one particular time. There have been other guys with more serious injuries in previous weeks that have come back to play and have good games. All right, back here. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and go to, is it Mully in Pennsylvania? Mully.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
This is my first time calling in here, but
thanks for checking in.
Yeah, it's really interesting. This week, the past while, I've stayed away from all the ESPN, all that crap.
Yeah.
But today I got out from classes early, so you know, as I sit down to lunch, I turn on the TV to ESPN, and of course it's Merrill Hodge and his big knot.
Mm-hmm.
And within 5 minutes, I just shut it off, just because. Like, they it's true. They glorify this Giants defense, which...
Hang on one second, Molly. Something's leaking through. The TV's leaking through or something. You got a pot up or something in there, Matt? I can hear something.
I'll try moving. I'm in my basement. It may get a little...
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not. Unless you have your television on. I just heard something bleeding through the... but that's okay. Continue to point. Yep. About Merrill Hodge. Yep.
But it's just ridiculous. I mean, these guys are... They're thinking back to 07 when it's really not the case. And you know what? I think that I agree with you with the Patriots' defensive line going to outplay the Giants' defensive line. But I think the Patriots' O-line is going to manhandle the Giants' defensive line. I think they've been hearing this crap all week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to, you know, I think they're like Logan Mankins. I think he's out for revenge. Because, you know, he probably feels bad about the Super Bowl. I think he's out for revenge. And I think they're just going to manhandle him.
Well, all they got to do is play as well as did against Baltimore. You know, and Baltimore has just as much talent on their defensive line and their front seven as the Giants do. And some may even argue it's even more talented. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the Patriots' offensive line has done a tremendous job all year. They've gone up against some of the best pass rushers in all these games, and they have done a great job. Matt Light said one of his best year. Yeah, I know Solder got burned in Baltimore game once. Yeah, but that's one play out of 60 something.
Yeah,
you know? And
yep.
So it's trust me. It's not even a bold. I know it's going to happen. I know the Patriots defense is going to have more sacks in this game than the Giants. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
And I don't get why no one's talking about the Giants O line. I mean,
not great. It's not great.
I mean, like, I saw San Francisco just manhandle them. I mean, they're not that good.
No, I mean, you saw last week. I mean, Eli Manning should have ended up in a hospital. Now, what will happen is you'll hear people say, oh, well, you know, San Francisco, one of the best defenses in the league. Yeah, the same defense that gave up 463 yards to Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, yeah, they made some plays in that game against Brees and the Saints. But, again, fumbling three times, losing fumbles, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's not like that was more Alex Smith having the game of his life than the Saints screwing up. Even though the Saints were down early, they had that lead back in that game. But, you credit Alex Smith in that one. But don't talk to me about San Francisco's got – that defense got shredded in that game.
Yeah, and it's – like, I still think that the games are won in the trenches. And I think the O-line, they may get – I think they'll have a couple plays, you know, where they just get beat and, you know, maybe one or two sacks. But I think for the majority of the game, they're just going to shut them down. And I think the Patriots defense is going to – I think Ahmad Bradshaw is just – he's out. He's going to be a non-factor. I remember – I mean, if you look at the Ravens game, mm-hmm. look what everyone's talking about. Like, oh, Joe Flacco couldn't do anything. Oh, Ray Rice was going to catch the ball and run all over the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots completely shut down Ray Rice.
I know. For the
and
second
game – Joe Flacco ended up having a decent game.
Yeah, they shut him down for the second game in a row. But as I tried to warn the national idiots – during up to that game, at least go back to 2010 when the Patriots beat him, and they shut down Rice in that game too. But this one, Rice said, if I don't get 25 touches, we'll have a fair chance if I get 25 touches. Well, he didn't get 25 touches. He got 21 touches and a grand total of 77 yards. So,
yeah, and it seems like the media is always wrong. I remember, like, even if you go back to Pittsburgh, it was like, Brady has Dick LeBeau figured out, and I just think you can't just assume things. And I think they magnify these perceptions that are completely false. And I understand they're trying to get shock value, but it's just it's terrible, man.
Yeah, it is. It's frustrating. But if you break down these games, you look at everything, you don't fall into the trap of what happened last week can happen this week and all that crap. You know, you'll understand. If you look at the entire body of work and you see how healthy this Patriot team is now, the Giants are in for it's going to be a hell of a game. Like I said, I think it's going to be within one score. I mean, there's no question it's going to be within one score. But I still stand by my other bold prediction that one thing that I think can happen, the Patriots can blow out the Giants. The Giants cannot blow out the Patriots. That I promise you. So if one team wins by 17 points or more, it'll be the Patriots. It's not going to be the Giants.
Yeah. And you know what? I frankly will not be surprised if they end up doing that. Because, I mean, I remember the last time Bill Belichick was all giddy, you know, and happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Jets game where we just completely dismantled them last year. And then the Tebow game, the playoffs, the Denver game. I mean...
Well, even the regular season game, he was very happy with the way that turned out. Even though the first 11 minutes weren't great, they shut them down and held them to 82 yards, and they blew them up by three touchdowns. And those are the kind of wins Belichick loves.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone, Dad.
Yeah, I got a call from, but I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy, take care. I understand. Family comes first. I got you.
Hey, Pete, you know the one thing, listening to that call, talking about the running game, I'm not overly concerned about their running game, but I don't think you can overlook it.
That's what I said. You can't ignore it.
Shutting down Ray Rice with Joe Flacco and the other receivers around him is one thing. I think that the offense of the Giants is supremely talented compared to Baltimore's, personally.
Well, I think the quarterback has a lot to do with that, because I think Eli Manning's a better quarterback than Flacco. So I think that's a big reason why. And the other thing is Kevin Gilbride, and he will take shots down the field, folks, the offense coordinator. And by the way, I'll read you what – remind me about after the read what Gilbride said today about Eli Manning. Kind of an interesting thing that he said earlier, but let me get back to the phones. Here on Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's Taser in Connecticut. Hey, Taser. Hello, Taser. You there?
Todor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Taser. I'm sorry.
Why are you calling me Taser?
Because it says T-A-Z-A-R on my screen. I can.
Oh,
I apologize.
I have to say I went to see the AFC Championship game. Even brought a friend of mine.
Yes.
And our defensive line, those front seven, are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot better.
They were constantly in Flacco's face. Even when he had the receivers open, he couldn't throw the ball.
And especially the first half, with a three-man rush, they were getting to him. They were getting to him, putting pressure on him. Three-man rush.
Brady also had plenty of time. Our offensive line protected him very well.
I think it's the best one in
football. I don't know why he wasn't as accurate as he is, but he had actually a lot of time to throw the ball.
I agree. That's why, I mean, I think the Patriots' offensive line is the best in football.
Do you think they're better than the Saints? The Saints look pretty good.
The Saints are very good, too. Look, maybe 1-1A. But I think the Patriots have as much depth on that offensive line, and it's now even better. But with Solder, the way he's so versatile, can play a couple of positions, more than a couple. You got Vollmer coming back. Marcus Cannon has been real good. The fact that Copeland didn't play, was injured, and Conley stepped up, and Wendell, and even McDonald at times, and Brian Waters. You can't say enough about this offensive line. They are the best.
Depth-wise, yes, I agree with you that we have very good depth. But they are smaller than the guys in New Orleans. Those guys look bigger.
I don't care about size. It's probably who produces. Patriots, Mankins is a big guy. Matt Leitch had a tremendous year. It's the same. They produce the results. I mean, it's been a terrific year for them. I mean, and you're right, Brady's had a ton of time to throw. But like I said, in the Baltimore game, he's throwing almost 60% of his passes with a 2.4-second drop. Boom. So I think the Giants are going to be in for a major, major, not surprise, but they're going to be in for a rude awakening come Sunday in a big chunk in this game. That's the way I see it. I don't think they're going to be able to cover all these guys. I just don't.
If our defensive line plays the same way, it's not going to be even close, because Baltimore defense is 10 times better than the Giants defense.
Well, I don't know about that.
Absolutely.
But I think
it's not even close.
Well, I think, but if you're going by the regular season, I totally agree with you. But if you're going by how everybody's playing now, I'm not so sure. I'd still take Baltimore's defense. I think they play. That's why Baltimore's defensive front, the Patriots handled it pretty well for the most part. So, and I don't think the Giants are better than Baltimore's defensive front.
Yeah, but Baltimore also secondary. You have the best safeties, and their corners are much better than
Oh, God, yeah. It's not even close.
So overall, you put a lot more pressure with coverage.
Yep.
The two parts than the Giants. Giants, yes, they have speedy guys. But if Brady releases quickly, that doesn't help. Our guys can break much easier tackles here.
And the other mistake the Giants are making, and they're yapping about it way too much, is that they just think they're going to be able to crap all over Edelman out there. When it didn't happen,
it didn't happen last week.
People will show the three plays that Bolden had in the fourth quarter in the Baltimore game. In the fourth quarter, what they won't show you is the other 25 snaps he was out there when Bolden was covered. That's the other problem I have with the ESPNs and NFL networks of the world. They'll show three plays that work to their agenda. They won't show the majority of the plays that didn't work to their agenda. I mean, Edelman has played a damn good nickelback when he's been out there. And overall, he's been pretty good. But these guys in New York, the Giants are crapping all over him, all over him. So I'll tell you, nothing would make me happier than Edelman get a pick six in this game or get an interception. That would be absolutely a dream come true for me. If I could ask for one play that could be made on offense or defense, I want Edelman to get an interception in this game.
He is outstanding, outstanding, all over the special teams. I mean, this team is, I think, very different than teams like the last two or three years.
No question.
Very mentally tough.
No question. They are definitely mentally tough, and the Giants are not the same as they were in 2007. Not by the longest of yards are they the same. But we have to deal with this, you know, these nitwits on a couple of networks for the next couple of days. But
yeah, well, if you listen to what they say, like you almost think that they were going to beat the Patriots 35-17.
I agree. It's beyond embarrassing. And like I said, they'll tell you everything the Giants front seven can do. You don't hear anything about what the Patriots front seven can do. It's a big, big mistake. And I know Tom Coughlin, I guarantee you, is drilling it into the Giants' head, that offensive line, saying you guys better not take these seven guys lightly because they can do major damage. We saw it against Baltimore. You saw it against Denver. You saw it the last month of the season, what they could do. Even though they got down in a couple of games early, they still, in the end, made some big plays, and they were pressuring the quarterback big time in the second half.
Amazing. I mean, like, Blackwood literally got empty receivers.
Yep.
Yeah. And he could not throw the ball because he had a hand in his face.
Yeah.
With only three, four. I mean, that front seven of the Patriots, I think, is better than the front seven of the Giants.
Well, all I know is right now they're both playing very well. Right now the front sevens are playing very well. If you're going to talk about the Giants front seven, the Patriots front seven during the regular season, which is completely different now, then like I said, I'll throw the Giants. I mean, don't talk to me about the Giants defense because they were just as statistically sucky as in a lot of cases worse than the Patriots, because they allowed a lot more points during the season. They had 29th ranked pass defense and the last in rushing defense.
But they got smoked by
They lost to Washington twice. But again, I'm not going to go. I'm going by how the teams are playing now. I'm trying to be fair. So I'll give the Giants credit for the last three games. Obviously, you have to. But you have to do the same thing for the Patriots. This is not the same defense as in November.
I think we are lucky that we're facing Giants rather than facing New Orleans, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry, what?
I think it's better for us to face the Giants than New Orleans.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, no question about it.
I mean, I'm actually glad that the Giants made it, not New Orleans.
Oh, I think a lot of people are. You know, I think a lot of people are. But, so.
Because in a dome, it's much harder to play New Orleans. They're very fast.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I think it would have been a much different type of game. And I think it would have been much to me, and I picked Patriots in New Orleans beginning of the season. To me, that game would have been whoever gets the ball last wins. That's what it would have been. This one, not so much.
Keep doing the good work.
All right, my friend.
Otherwise, we're getting depressed watching TV.
No, don't get depressed. Take it on. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Phone lines are heating up here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Said back to the phones. Set to Rochester, New York. Check in with Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I hear you.
Okay. Hey, PDA, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Not too bad. Listen, I'm getting a big. I got a headache.
I know.
Big time. You know, I got to tell you, first of all this ESPN crap, I got two new tools for you. One of them is Dan Chaughnessy, who's the ultimate traitor.
Well, it's not a traitor. Dan Chaughnessy wouldn't know a football from a grapefruit.
And he was on Jim Rome. Get this. Rome. He is pulling hard for the Giants.
Yeah.
He talked down about the Patriots so bad, mm-hmm. saying they don't have a chance in this game. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Look at Dan's track record. You don't understand. It's personal with Dan because he got snubbed by a breakfast meeting from Robert Kraft years ago. Just like how Borges got, you know, thinks he got snubbed. It's all agenda driven. You ask Shaughnessy to break down a game, he can't do it. It's all about superficial headlines, flash over substance crap. That's all it is. He's as big a fraud as there ever has been. in life, and I personally don't like him at all. Borges is not personal with me. I love his boxing, and I love when he's writing. He does a lot of good pieces about the NFL. I like Ron a lot as a person. I hate Shaughnessy's guts. I could care less, but when I see him on television, he's only there because he's Rome's buddy. Rome flies him out to Los Angeles for free. I'm sure in Rome, you know, midget Rome is sitting there in Indianapolis, you know, and from what I've heard, he looks like Gary Coleman in his chair. His head's barely sticking over the table. So whatever Shaughnessy says about the Patriots, I just tune it out. It's irrelevant. If you ask him to seriously start to break down a football game, his freaking Bozo the Clown or his Ronald McDonald head would explode.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I mean, he reminds me of Ronald McDonald.
Yeah,
he's
a freaking tool. He's a
Marx
clown.
Brothers.
He is an absolute clown. I've never seen a guy get so many accolades for accomplishing so little. He writes a couple of books about curses, and all of a sudden he has probably one of the least amount of football knowledge out of all the Boston media, New England media, that anybody I've ever met. Seriously, watch him sometime when he's talking about football. All it is, it's he sucks or Brady can't do this. He'll give you the obvious. He'll say the front four. He probably doesn't even know their names.
You mentioned that about the front four.
That's all everybody else is mentioning. And he'll have two columns already written. I guarantee you they're already written, stuck somewhere in his computer. One if they win, one if they lose. And he'll just plug in a couple of names here and there to change it, depending on the outcome of the game. He's a freaking joke.
There was another guy there on the show. I just couldn't help listening to the show. I think I turned the show on towards the middle of this conversation, and Jim Rome was there with this guy. Forgot that he was some sports columnist, but he said to Jim Rome, and I think Jim Rome can believe he was saying this, the guy says, if the Patriots don't win this Super Bowl, you could put an asterisk next to the three Super Bowls that they did win because of Spygate.
And that's just, ridiculous. I mean, anybody who knows anything about the game will tell you that's absolutely ridiculous. And that's just,
I couldn't believe
that's what the haters do, though, Tony. That's what they do. They still have been saying that. It doesn't matter. The Patriots can win the next 10 Super Bowls in a row. It's not going to matter to these idiots, you know. And the Steelers still complain about 2001, even though two of the touchdowns were on special teams, a blocked field goal and a punt return. It's ridiculous.
You talk about Spygate, but what about 2007? If it wasn't for Hail Mary Eli, who just happens to throw a ball up every game and just hope that someone comes down with it, David Tyree, if it wasn't for that, and then Asante Samuel missing that interception and this and that and this, they could have won that game. They should have won that game.
Of course. Had nothing to do with Spygate.
Today break.
No, Spygate, they won 18 straight games. You know, and that's why people who bring that up, it's nothing but haters. They don't know what they're talking about. It's just a convenient little topic for them. It's nothing but prejudice and anger against the Patriots because they won so much over the last 11 years.
PD, I got to tell you, Sunday's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I'm just hoping for my birthday present that Brady just lights up the Giants and shuts everybody up. Because now you got these guys on ESPN now, some another columnist saying that is Brady overrated.
Well, that was what Bayless said. That
you know, and I'm like, you got to be kidding! I just hope Brady goes out there and just shuts everybody up. And I'm hoping that they kill him. But I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I'm praying that they do.
Well, Simini,
shut everybody up.
Simini on ESPN New York wrote a stupid
Hello?
Child. Yeah, I'm here. Are you there? I'm here. We lost Tony. We have a bad connection, but thanks for the call, Tony. I appreciate it. Yeah, Simini on ESPN New York wrote some stupid, dumbass column. Same thing on topic on ESPN First Take. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know who the program director is at ESPN. I don't know who the people who write these marketing people or whoever come up with these topics for Bayless and company. It's childish. 90% of the questions are childish. Instead of doing real hard football stuff and getting into it, it's that flashover substance. They're trying to be edgy. It's like a bad comedian getting cheap laughs. Take my wife, please. Let's throw out there Tom Brady's overrated. Because they know people will overreact and call in and text and do Facebook and all that garbage. But it really is a shame that it comes down to that Super Bowl week. You know, I expect it from those bozos during the season. But it just, to me, it's like a bunch of fifth graders talking in a sandbox, arguing over a Tonka truck. Let's get back to the phones here at 508-298-0398. It's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's our pal Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing. I'm just like y'all, man. I'm fed up because every time I look on the TV set, they're talking about the Patriots like we don't have a chance. It's always the Giants front set, front four that's going to pressure Brady. And every time you see on ESPN or NFL Network, Brady getting sacked.
Yep.
And just like you said, Pete, they are waiting to expel Edelman. But I don't think Edelman can cover Victor Cruz. He's faster than Bowman. You know,
but here's the thing. It's not, he's going to have help. You know, I'd be really surprised if Edelman's one on one with Victor Cruz. I mean, this guy, all I'm saying is, and Victor Cruz is going to make his plays. He's going to have his yards in this game. We all know that.
Yeah, I know
but,
that too.
But they're making it sound like he's going to have 20 catches for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, they're not thinking that it's too easy. If it were that easy, then all these other receivers would have been open all year long when he's been in there. He has shown definite improvement, and he did do a good job on Bolden for a lot of that game. And I know Bolden's not the different kind of receiver then, but he's still much bigger, and, you know, he had the height.
Right, he's more physical
than
everything. But one thing that's pissing me off is when they showed them Giants highlights, why they didn't show him when the last game with San Francisco when Eli was on his back or he was running?
Oh, I know.
And the Lions, they're exposed to Giants' offensive line. They're weak on the right side and in the middle.
There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. I know San Fran, everybody know the great defense that gave up 463 yards to New Orleans. But I agree with you. The Giants' offensive line is nowhere near what the Patriots is. And that's why I do think the Patriots' front seven, and that's my one bold prediction, I think they're going to have more sacks in this game than the Giants do. And that's going to shock. It's not going to shock everybody else. It's not going to shock me because if you've seen how this defense has played in the playoffs and over the last month, you're going to. And now that they're healthy, it's not what it was in November. It's totally different.
Yeah, I agree. And when you said about earlier about taking a shot down the field,
yep.
I hope this game. I know everybody. I talked to PFW earlier, and they discounted Chad. But like I said, one game has got to make a difference. You know what I mean? You can't judge him for the 18 games or that he's done, well, 16 games, 17 games he's done played, but either him or Underwood going to have to be that deep threat going down the field at least once or twice to make the Giants say, whoa, wait a minute, we got to back up a little bit.
Well, Deion Branch also, I mean, he's not the same kind of speed, but Deion Branch has caught a couple of deep passes this year, too.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I hope you're right about Chad. I still don't even know if he's going to play or dress. I don't even know. I don't know how anybody can say definitively that he's going to. I hope he does. But I know, Bill, if he dresses him, that he's going to be part of the game plan at some point.
Yeah, so, I know, because he's the only one that I've seen besides Gronk that and Hernandez had problems sometimes getting off a chuck, when they press him. You know, because Edelman, he can't do it. Welcher, he's slow, and Deion, as long as Deion been in, like, he should know how to do that already, but Deion had a problem. But Chad, he know how to get away from that. That's what I'm looking at. What I'm hoping anyway.
At times he has. I mean, a couple catches he's made, but, there's got to be a reason why, even when he was playing and getting, whatever, 10 to 15 snaps in a game, if he even had that many, he still wasn't being targeted by Brady, so something wasn't right. He wasn't open. I mean, we saw flashes this year. We saw the touchdown. We saw a play this year against the Jets, I think, for 48 yards or something like that. He's had other catches, but that's what I'm saying, the touchdown catch again. But the fact that Brady has not targeted him more, that tells me something. Something is not right. And I can't put, it's so hard to get it, you know, unless you can sit down one on one with Bill and have him break down the film for you and see.
Yeah, but what I would look for is, look at him. If I was Bill and him, whatever, we run a couple of nine routes. Or sideline out, he should be able to do that. No, just tell him, should be able to do that.
Eldridge, yeah. I'm with you, I've been saying that, but he hasn't, and I don't understand why. I totally agree with you. That's what's so frustrating, because it's all, now we know from early on that he's not going to play in the hurry up. That's not his thing, and the Patriots have better personnel for that than him. But I agree with you what you just said about those formations, and I can't figure it out. It's frustrating as hell. And I hope to God he plays, and I hope he has some kind of an impact. I really do.
All right, Pete. All right, have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. It's Tyrone in Delaware. Tyrone.
Hey, man. What's going on, Pete?
Oh, man. How you doing?
Doing okay. Everything's fine. We can't wait for the Super Bowl. But I want to mention this to everybody that's calling in worrying about, oh, we're not getting enough pub and stuff like that. You know, we should want it this way, because I can't think of the last time that we were, you know, people was doubting the Patriots, doubting them and, you know, wasn't giving them a shot. When the last time we lost one of those games that we wasn't
supposed
to win?
No,
so,
a,
I mean,
it's a great point.
We should want it this way. I'm not even complaining one bit.
No, because, I agree with you. You know, I say that all the time because, like I said, usually when it seems like the entire world lines up against this team, not only do they win, they usually win by double digits. They win
exactly,
big.
Exactly, but and whenever we favor, you know, we always struggle or we lose. So,
yeah.
I'm just thinking that divine intervention.
But Tyrone, it's only frustrating because there are some of these guys that are on TV that I respect. But either they're just not – I mean, it's all fine and dandy to talk about the Giants front seven and damage that they can inflict on Brady and all that stuff. And I get all that. I can accept that. But, my God, just do it – you know, play both ways and analyze what the Patriots front seven right now has been able to do since they called come back and be healthy, the healthiest they've been all year, and just go through some of their plays, what they have done. Show the three-man rush they got on Flacco in the Baltimore game. And, they were really disrupting them with three guys rushing. Go back to the Denver game. You can't just, you know, discount that and say it doesn't matter because their defense, they now suck. The same people that said it was real good a month and a half ago. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying they should pick the Patriots. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just disappointed that they're not the same hard-hitting analysis that is going to what the Patriots cannot do is not being flip-flopped to what the Patriots can do. It's frustrating.
Yeah, but, you know, to be fair and objective, when it was 07, it was all Patriots. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. That's, you know, it's not bothering me one bit. It is what it is. Because in 07, it was all about the Patriots.
Yeah, but that was.
I'm sure the Giants fan was feeling the same way we're feeling now. So, I was in New York. I was in New York visiting my in-laws, and it was Giants fan. I was in New York, and like I said, they felt the same way. So, I mean, I think the moon is aligning perfectly for us, man, to win. Because everything is almost like parallel. Because, like I said, we were favored, we lost. Right now, the Giants, everybody being the Giants, I don't believe we're going to pull this out. My only concern is, remember, I've been talking about the Rose Gronkowski get hurt with his high ankle sprain.
I want you to listen to me a second, Tyrone, because I'm going to tell you this, too. He's going to be the MVP of the game. Mark it down. He's going to be the MVP of the game.
Oh, man. But
Mark it down.
It could either go two ways. It could either go the T.O. route, which, you know, T.O. came out, or it could go the Dwight Freeney route. I mean, let's be a little...
I agree. We won't know until that... I'm just telling you, my it's all gut reaction. I'm not a doctor. I don't try to even, you know, even though he wasn't limping yesterday and all that stuff, when he gets on the field, we know things are going to be different intensity. I just don't think he's going to be any kind of decoy. I don't think he's going to be any kind of glorified blocker. I think he's got a different mentality. I think he's going to be real good. Obviously, he's not going to be 100%. We know that. He's going to be good enough. He's going to make plays, and in my opinion, it's my pick for the MVP.
But you see, the thing is with that, right? Everybody's hoping that the previous caller was just on the phone, bring up Tyquan Underwood and Chad Ochocinco. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, because yesterday you played that Deion Sanders and Ochocinco.
Yeah, but I played.
Interview.
Did you hear Ochocinco today? We played it right before the John Rook Show ended.
I heard it today. I just left work. I heard it today, but I heard it yesterday when you played it.
Yep.
I went home, I looked at it on the app. I looked at the actual interview, and I felt him, man. I really feel him. And I think they should just go to him just for, you got nothing to lose anyway. I mean, you're paying him $6 million. I mean, just see what he could do. I mean, I know everybody's saying, well, you, especially you and the PFW guys saying, well, you know, he's not because he's been inactive. But I think just something just tells me you got to throw the ball his way.
Yeah, but Tyrone, I mean, that's the problem. When he has been active, Brady has not targeted him a whole lot of times.
I think
I don't know why. I mean, there's a reason why.
To be fair to Chad,
But I'm saying there's a reason. There's got to be a reason why. He can't play in the hurry-up offense. And when he's been out there, yeah, he's shown flashes at times. That's why it's frustrating. I just don't know. There's something's not right. The chemistry with he and Tom, something is not right. Whether we're overreacting about him grasping the playbook, I don't know what it is. But there's got to be a reason.
You're not right with Taylor Price. I think we just you just got to believe. I think the guy just needed
somebody
to be confident in him. But check this out. I watched that Denver game.
Yep.
And Ocho ran a route, right?
He only played one play.
He was going running the seam route, right? Running, I mean, straight up the seam.
Oh, you're talking about the regular season game where he scored the touchdown?
Yeah, it was Denver. The regular season
game. Okay, yeah.
And instead of doing that, he curled up, but he was wide open.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't run the route, but he was wide open.
I know.
He had a first down, but Brady threw it down the field. I mean,
it was perfect.
You know, he was wide open. So, I mean, I'm just saying. Because in 07, I think the stars was aligned for the Giants to win that game. I mean, this time, I just feel something. Everybody's talking about all the Patriots fans and talking about it. I think they should just throw him one or two balls, get him established, easy throw, and see what happens, man. You got nothing to lose. I talk to you guys, Dave.
All right, Tyrone, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm going to take a quick break here on Patriots.com. Come back and get right back to the phones here at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Got a ton of emails to read as well. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Back with more from you guys here on the Pete Shepard Show right after this.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health. Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard cash rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. Welcome back. Second hour of the Pete Shepard Show, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Back to the phones in 1 second. I just want to read a couple of emails here. Hi, Pete and Matt. Yesterday at the podium, Tom said, he said to a guy on the team, if you do not have confidence in yourself, how can you expect me to have confidence in you? Tom did not give a name to the reporter, but who do you think you could be talking about? Chad will not dress Gene in Daytona. You might be right. It's actually a very good point. And why going through all the media stuff yesterday, I don't remember Tom saying that specifically. I probably heard it but you're right. And you very well could have been insinuating about Chad Ochocinco. And maybe Chad has just become too hard on himself. I don't want to say pity. You know, when he dropped that pass, touchdown pass in Buffalo, you didn't hear from him again until a couple weeks after that. Maybe Chad has lost that edge. Maybe he has. Maybe he's lost confidence in himself, and we're just not. You know, and that's a big part of it. Maybe that's more of that than the playbook. Let's see. Raymond says, hey, guys, I am Ray from Connecticut, living abroad in Italy. I'm a lifetime Pats fan, looking forward to staying up all night this Sunday to watch the big game. I'll get right to the point here. I've been listening to all week to questions about what both teams need to do to win. I think one of the things the Pats can do, make it tough on Eli, and the Giants is jam the receivers coming off the line to disrupt their routes and give the defensive line time to get to Eli. I noticed that most of the time the Pats give the receivers anywhere between 7 and 10 yard cushion at the line. Is there a reason why they don't use the 5 yards allowed to jam the receivers? What do you guys think? Thanks. Go Pats. Well, I think I think it depends on the yard, the down, and how many yards it is to go, and all that stuff. But I think you've seen a much better Patriots defense overall over the last month. I really have. I mean, and still at times. Sometimes they give a bigger cushion than I'd like to see, but with the pass rush that they've had in the playoffs and the last couple games in the regular season, I think it's all part of it. I think you're going to see Bill try to do, depending on what matchups he likes and who's on who and what kind of help Edelman's going to get and all that stuff, depending on who the Giants have out there. Yeah, I think you're going to see. I think they understand that. I think that's fair. You want Cruz flying down the middle of the field. That's for damn sure.
It's a scheme thing, too. I mean, you got to look. Beginning of the year, this defensive scheme was get up in their faces, jam at the line, then try to trail them.
Yeah.
And how many deep passes did you see the first 8-10 weeks? As opposed to all of a sudden, you know, you kind of saw them backing off, giving that good cushion.
Yeah.
A lot less deep passes given up. You know,
well, a lot. I mean, the only one you've really seen over the last month and a half, really, is the one that Bolden caught, or Smith, when he was wide open.
Yeah, Smith. That was just a blow cut.
That was the only time. I think that's the last, like, 40-plus yard gain in the air they've given up in a while. That's right, what they don't do.
It's all in a scheme change, and I think that with the players that they have in that defensive backfield right now, that's the best thing they can do because you don't have those guys that can bump and run necessarily.
Yep.
And you've seen that, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen that out of the guys pretty consistently this year.
Dave says, Pete, do you think Rex Ryan going to get any fatter next year from all the crow he's been eating this offseason? Well, there's no doubt about that. Justin,
eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
Exactly. Justin in D.C., you talked a lot in many emails and calls about how the national media, especially ESPN, treats the Patriots, either ignoring, demeaning, or poorly analyzing us. And I agree with all of that. But my question is why? Why is there so much dislike for the Patriots in the national media, especially compared to the Giants? Is it a geographical, political thing? Is it a dislike for Belichick, Brady, our great record in the past decade? I mean, it's impossible not to like the attitudes of Robert Kraft and the team itself. We don't have any obnoxious coaches or players like the Jets, so why the hate? Thanks and hope you can clear this up for me. Well, Justin, I say it's been going on for a long time, since the Patriots were America's darlings in 2001. And since all that, it's basically a bunch of ex-athletes who have lost to the Patriots time and time again. Prejudices of people. I hate Belichick because he doesn't give sexy answers during press conferences. They've been snubbed at breakfasts. You know, their quarterback that they rooted for, lost his job to Brady. The list is endless. Stupid Spygate crap. You know, that they throw the word cheat out there all the time, and it's obnoxious and it's wrong. And you bring up 2001, like I said, in the AFC Championship game, and you bring up two scores on special teams, and they still find a way to say that, well, if the Patriots weren't taping, they would know. Yeah, block field goal and a punt return. Yeah, Spygate had a lot to do with that. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's nothing. It happens with a lot of winning teams. I mean, it happens with teams like the Yankees. It happens with a lot of teams in Boston because it's such a winning area now. But I think there are such over-the-top hatreds because Brady, handsome guy with Giselle, that kind of stuff, even though he says all the right things and is the furthest thing from obnoxious that there is. He's a tough competitor, but, you know, he does not get the same kind of treatment that Peyton Manning would get in Super Bowls. And it's really a lot of it has to do with the coach because he doesn't give sexy answers and he doesn't do what Rex Ryan does. That's a big part of it. And where's Rex Ryan? What has Rex Ryan ever won? What is Rex Ryan ever going to win? You think anybody's going to give a crap when he's done about that he got to the AFC Championship game twice? So have a lot of other teams. All right, back to the phones here at Patriot.com. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Olivier in Virginia. Hello, you're next with Pete. Hi, Olivier.
How are you, Pete? Nice meeting you.
Hey, nice talking to you too, my friend.
Likewise, thank you. First time caller.
Hey, welcome.
Been calling to the other shows, and then I waited for the last possible minute to be able to save last. No, the best for last. I hope you appreciate that.
I do. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. What's on
hey,
your mind?
So I had a few comments to make.
Sure.
First of all, I was listening yesterday on ESPN Boston. Adam Jones had the New York colleagues from ESPN, and they were saying that people outside of Boston, obviously, hate the Pats because we have this arrogance. And I'm like, we don't have an arrogance. We have this maybe skewed expectation to expect our team to win all the time, but that doesn't make us arrogant.
It happens to a lot of winning organizations. Like there were, you know, back in the day, I think the Dallas Cowboys were an arrogant franchise, you know. I think there were a lot of teams. I think the Miami Hurricanes of old in college were an arrogant but this is all about Belichick. And it's all about wins. And this team wins, like, you know, 88% of the games over the last decade for the most part, or very close to it. And a coach that is not a flashy guy like a Rex Ryan. And that's all it is. I mean, That's a big chunk of it. It's just a lot of stupid, silly fifth grade type prejudices that are held against this team. And anybody will tell you that this, and it's not from, you know, some coaches might feel that way and some GMs, but Mr. Kraft and the way this organization is run is a blueprint for any professional sports
organization. I agree with you 100%. We are, they are role models for any sports organization.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, what I really appreciate about this organization is the fact that most of our players, if not all, seem to try to portray in the, when they behave and they show themselves in the outside world as role model. And they should be. Mm-hmm. When their faces are on TV all the time, kids look up to these guys, and they should be role model. At least we don't have people that shoot themselves in club accidentally after a Super Bowl and all that stuff. Doesn't happen in our organization. I think that, you know, people should actually look up to those types of organizations and try to mirror them or to copy them for the betterment of the game and also for the type of role modeling they give to young kids. Then the other thing I want to talk to you is, is obviously, you know, the injury of Gronkowski. I'm not sure if you already have covered this, and if you have, I apologize.
No, that's okay. But we can cover it again. That's fine.
You know, I love the fact that, you know, of course, during the championship, the injury that it sustains, when you see it on TV, it looks horrific. I just can't believe that he's still walking after that. But then he came back into the game. Maybe it was the adrenaline or whatever they injected into his leg. And then they say, well, he's got a, you know, he's got an injury, and some people say it's a 6 weeks, a 2 weeks, it's a week. Then the guy walks with a lot of confidence off the plane, walks like he's got, you know, no problem with his ankle.
You saw him yesterday,
Belichick being super cool and relaxed. Do you think there is the level of injury that he has is, has been maybe blown out of proportion, and they are using this to play mind games
with the
Giants in terms of getting them to prepare for the wrong things?
I can honestly say I don't know, because what will happen is you have all these people on national TV who are now doctors. You know, I'm being facetious. They haven't seen an X-ray. They haven't seen an MRI. They're going by what happened to Dwight Freeney for Indianapolis back in the Super Bowl when they lost to New Orleans. They're trying to compare that to this. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about what happened to Brady in the AFC Championship game in 2001 when he came back to play. That was a pretty bad injury as well. Terrell Owens, when I was down in Jacksonville, everybody thought, you know, he wasn't going to do anything or be very limited. He ends up being one of the best players on the field that day. I mean, I just don't know. I think Gronk is my pick for the MVP. I think he's going to be effective. Now, can it stiffen up at halftime like what happened to Freeney? Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and say that.
It might
happen.
The difference is I don't know what how old Freeney was when this injury happened to him. This kid is 22 years old,
yeah.
And I remember when I was 22 years old. A year and a half ago, just kidding. I mean, and anything was fine. You know, you come back from injuries, you don't feel them. You know, now I'm 42, and I'm starting feeling I'm getting old. You know, anything hurts.
Well, I'm 44, so I'm with you. So yeah, I mean, you're right. Youth, you know, when guys are a lot younger, obviously. I mean, it's the healing process is much easier. So, I mean, all I know is I just think he's going to be effective. He won't be 100%. We all know that. But I'm not going to sit here and play a fake doctor and say, like, these other idiots on television
who
all of a sudden are high ankle sprain experts. It's a joke.
But, you know, Pete, he's been 150% on each game. If we get 100% out of it, it's not bad at all.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Are you concerned about the fact that Matt Lyde's been sick, other people have been sick, even Kevin has been sick? I heard that he had to fly in a cargo space not to contaminate the entire team. Are people getting sick or getting better?
Matt Lyde was back in the realm today. I don't know if there an injury report that came out today yet?
Yeah.
Yet to come out.
It's yet to come out. But Matt Lyde was back, at least in the public eye today, so I think he's going to be fine. And like I said.
So what do you think? I mean, I know the Giants, you know, are peaking at the right time. I think that we're also gelling at the right time and peaking to a certain extent at the right time. But what worries me a little bit is that if we allow Eli to play like Flacco, you know, Eli's not going to make the same mistake as Flacco did. Are you still concerned about secondary, even though, you know, they prevailed in the AFC Championship?
Well, yeah, I thought the secondary played pretty well. I mean, again, people are hopping on Welker in three passes down the stretch. What about the other 25 plays he was in the game? I mean, I think it's about getting that push with the front seven, and I think that solves a lot of problems. I think they've been getting that. I really do. And whether it's, whether McCourty's playing safety or corner, or both, or whatever it is, I just think right now, Spike's back, Chung back. They're as healthy as they've ever been. The defense is playing the best it has all season right now, and that's all I care about. And I can, like I said, I can tell you this. This Patriot defense is going to have more sacks on Eli than the Giants are going to have on Brady. You can absolutely take that to the bank. That's what's going to happen, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. And last one question, I'll let you go. I'm not sure about the rules of the NFL, but could we have signed just after the championship Randy Moss for a special appearance in
no.
the Super Bowl?
No. Nope.
No.
Okay. Nope.
It would have been great. I would have loved it.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, we'll see if 85 shows up on Sunday, if he even dresses.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, nice meeting you, and
you too.
Belated congratulations on your wedding.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that, my friend.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Cheers. Take care. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Here's Mohammed up next. Hey, Mohammed.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Just wanted to talk about how annoying it is watching ESPN again. You know, they're talking, they're acting as if the Patriots didn't walk into Indy and get completely slaughtered. You know.
Well, it's all about 2007. It's doing the same thing as the Baltimore game. They're bringing up 2009 at the very least this year. If you're going to show some highlights, at least show 2010, but they won't do that. You know, I mean, this year, I mean, 2011, they won't do it. It's all about what fits their agenda, Muhammad. I wouldn't get too aggravated about it. I know I get aggravated about it, but I treat it like a comedy show.
It's just so frustrating. They're underrating the Patriots defense line. They're still acting like the Patriots defense is the worst in the league, and I don't think it's really that. I think it's pretty.
Well, what they're not doing, because they keep talking about the Patriots during the regular season, and they're not talking about the Giants during the regular season. Like I said, they're 29th against the pass and last against the run. So it's not like they were, you know, head and shoulders above the Patriots, because they weren't. And in points allowed, the Patriots were 15th and the Giants were 25th. But that doesn't fit their agenda, so they won't talk about it.
And they're not talking about any of the playmakers on defense. I think Sterling Moore. He's really made a name for himself, and they're not even talking about him. He made the play that took him to the Super Bowl, and then he came back after that to block Joe Flacco's pass, and that was excellent.
No, it was, and your phone's breaking up, Muhammad. I appreciate the call, my young friend, and you know, call back soon. But right now, I was having a hard time hearing you. I know you were talking about Sterling Moore, and I agree. He's really come on. He's made some tremendous plays over the last few weeks here for the Patriots. 508-298-0398, that's the number to call. I've got a few open lines right now. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And again, email me, webradio at patriots.com. And let's see, here is another one. Barrett says, have we forgotten that the Patriots have Aaron Hernandez? All of the focus has been on Gronk and his ankle, and the attention that's been removed from Hernandez, who is a total offensive threat. I think he will step up big time like he did during the last game of the season against Buffalo. He will be the MVP. Yeah, certainly possible. I mean, I don't think the Giants are going to forget about him, but it's another type of threat. He can line up in a lot of different places. He can line up on the outside, wide right, wide left. He can line up in the slot. He can line up as a fullback, line up as a halfback. Who knows? He's certainly one that the Giants have to be wary of. I'm sure they are. But he's a tough man to bring down. Another one, because he's not your typical tight end. Let's see. Hi, Pete. Jay from Columbus, Ohio. I'm a diehard Patriots fan and worship Tom Brady. Ha-ha. But, Pete, I want you to explain to me how, in one bad game, Brady has become the most overrated player in NFL history. All I saw on ESPN this week is how overrated Brady is now. Do people forget that was the first ever unanimous MVP last year? And on top of that, some people are saying Eli is better than Brady now. How can a guy who's missing a chromosome and just a glue before a game is better than Brady? Yeah, Eli has been good the last 5 weeks, but let's not forget how inconsistent he is. For 5 weeks in the middle of the season, had middle-of-the-pack numbers. I just cringe when ESPN pretends Eli is on the Brady's level or better. Go Pats and FX Ryan. And I'm with you. I mean, I've gone over the numbers and gone time and time again. You're talking about Eli Manning, and like I said, I think he's a great quarterback right now, and I'd put him like right with Ben Roethlisberger as 5 and 5A, right around there. He's not Brady, he's not Breeze, he's not Rodgers, and he's still a guy that threw 41 interceptions the last 2 years. And still, and I don't care how confident Giant fans are, you still have to realize, because he did it in San Francisco, he did it against Green Bay, and he's still that little voice in the back of your head, and you know what I'm talking about. Because he's good for two or three really bad throws every game. And, you know, Sometimes he gets away with it. Sometimes he doesn't. So we'll see. We'll see. Can't read that one. Doesn't make any sense. Gene in Daytona says, hi, Pete and Matt. Nate Solder has been eligible on 121 offensive plays and not thrown to once this year. When he was a tight end in college and high school, he averaged 14 to 16 yards a catch. If Gronk can't go fully, do you think Nate could be an option? Can you imagine someone trying tackling a 6'8", 310-pound guy? My dream would be for Edelman to get MVP and have Cordell Stewart and Chris Carter presented to him. Gene in Daytona, Patriots 31, Giants 10. 21-0 at the halftime, and Eli with three interceptions. Do I think it's possible that Solder might catch a touchdown pass? With Vollmer playing, I think it's possible.
I don't get how people are thinking that Solder is going to be this, you know, if Gronk is limited, people are saying Solder is going to go in there.
No.
Middle
so,
of the field.
The only way Solder catches a touchdown is going to be like Vrabel. It'd have to be like on a goal line situation, first and goal from inside the five or something. And maybe he slips out there as a third tight end or does something like Vrabel used to do.
I agree with you.
That's it. Otherwise, I mean, it could be dead wrong. I don't see them like the Patriots on their own 40-yard line and Solder slips out and catches a ball.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I'm saying that's probably the third or fourth email we've gotten today saying,
well, I understand
that. Solder caught 16-point-something yards a catch in high school.
Yep. But we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of wrinkles. I know a lot of people are waiting for Edelman to throw a ball. Quarterback at Kent State. I mean, that's the kind of play. If there's a trick play, a gimmick in this thing, that's what I'd love to do. I'd love to see direct snap to Edelman. Somehow throw it to Brady. You know, that happened. Kevin Falk, I believe, did that in 2001.
Maybe one of those double passes that we saw.
That could happen. But Brady go out in a quarterback screen, which can happen. And I guarantee there's going to be some trick plays. I mean, Gilbride will chuck the ball down the field. He's going to go deep a lot. I have no doubt that Eli is going to go deep a lot in this game, probably early. I'm hoping early on in this game. I hope the first play, I hope Brady zips it to Gronk right off the bat. And I think that's what they're going to try and do. Shut everybody up right away. Gronk right over the middle, first play, 9-yard game, boom. But we'll see. Julio from Southern California says, hello, Pete. It's very funny to hear the guys on NFL Network and ESPN speak so highly of this Giants team. They discredit the Patriots by saying that until Baltimore, the game, they hadn't beaten any real team. I have not heard them say one word on how the Giants faked two player injuries during the Rams versus Giants game because they weren't able to handle the no huddle, or how the Saints marched up and down the field against the Giants. Thank you, Pete, doing research and keeping us sane all season long. Thank you, Julio. Yeah, well, again, it's just laziness by ESPN. When you talk about they haven't played a real team, I'm not going to go over all the games and what they've done. You have to go back and see what this Patriot team accomplished, where these teams were when they beat them, and the reason why they're under 500 is because the Patriots did beat them. Other teams that they beat on the road had winning streaks of 3 to 6 games all this time, and they beat them all. You can't just say they didn't beat anybody. It's ridiculous. They beat who was on the schedule, and a lot of those teams had winning streaks when the Patriots went on the road to annihilate them. And that's what it was. Throughout three touchdown wins, 2 and 3 touchdown wins was annihilation when those teams were playing, had winning streaks, and playing for their playoff lives. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Here's Alberto in Phoenix. Hi, Alberto.
Hi, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
What's up?
Kind of worried about the Giants a little bit.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks. I'm curious to see how Hakeem Nicks is doing.
How Hakeem Nicks is doing?
No, because wasn't he injured or something?
Well, he didn't play in the November game against the Patriots, but
he does have a shoulder injury.
Yeah, he's dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, I was wondering, and then Ahmad Bradshaw also is kind of banged up. Do you think he'll play at all?
I don't know. I think he probably will, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. I'm not worried so much about it's not something the Patriots – you can't ignore the Giants running game, but the Giants running game
is not going to be
a big threat.
They haven't run the ball very well lately.
I think the Patriots defense is going to do a great job against that offensive line for the Giants.
One thing I noticed in Super Bowls is very key. Like, we haven't got a whole lot of turnovers. We're with the Giants.
Who hasn't?
The Patriots. Like, we didn't get too many turnovers against the Giants in the last Super Bowl. Like, Merriweather had a pick go through his hands.
Asante Samuel had a pick. I mean, yeah.
Well, Pierre Thomas,
we had that game.
Well, early, people also forget, Pierre Thomas had that ball under. I don't know how Pierre Thomas didn't recover that fumble. It was right in his groin area and somehow got it taken away. That would have been a huge play at the time. The Patriots would have gone up by double digits pretty early in that game, and it didn't happen. But, yeah, there were everything that could have gone wrong for the Patriots in that game went wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Ellis Hobbs getting beat on the slant and go. Route.
Yeah, well, that was right at the end. That was at the end. That was horrible. Yeah.
It was horrible. I was like, no way. That did not just happen. Like, on the one play where he just slips, like,
yep.
I mean, not saying, you know, Plaxico Burress has the reach, but.
No, but it was before that. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis having sacked, you know, it looked like he sacked Eli Manning, was about to three times during that play. And it just didn't, and you know what? It was just, it took some miracle plays for the Giants to win, but they took advantage of it.
I'm more confident this time around, though, because I feel like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, I think he'll get it done. Lawrence Maroney was kind of a bust. I was kind of shocked we drafted him. But
well, he wasn't a bust in 2007, though. He had his best games in the year. He had some good games in 2007, including the playoffs. He was very, very good against Jacksonville and against San Diego in the AFC Championship game. Maroney and that offensive line just absolutely dominated. The last 9 minutes, the Patriots controlled. They had the possession last 9 minutes and 2 seconds of that game. And Maroney had a good game. He had a pretty good Super Bowl, too. But I agree with you overall. It just didn't work out. But in 2007, he had a pretty good year.
Yeah. I was also, like, wondering, who do you guys think we're going to double on Sunday? Because we got our hands full, I think. Like, DB, defensive back-wise, like.
It depends what the Giants do. I mean.
Right.
Edelman, if he's out there in a nickelback situation, again, it's not like Edelman plays every single down on defense. He has 25 plays last week, and for 20 of them out of 25, he did a pretty good job. But he's going to get help. He's going to get help.
Especially
people keep thinking he's going to be
receiver turn corner.
Yeah. Well, I think the pass rush is going to dictate a lot of what happens here. So if the front seven get pressure,
that we're going to get more sacks, and nobody is saying anything about the Patriots defense right now on ESPN.
I haven't even
been watching ESPN. I've just been listening to your show this whole month, and then on, you know.
And look, I'm not saying. Look, the Patriots defense right now is just healthy, and they're playing the best that they've played all year long. And I think people are just not paying enough attention to the potential. And all I had to do was see last week; they were getting a 3-man rush against Flacco, and they were getting to him.
Yeah,
they were getting to him, and I just think Eli, that offensive line is not as good. I don't think it's as good as Baltimore's. And you can make a case that the Giants' defense isn't as good as Baltimore's. Their front seven. So
yeah, but I mean, besides like the Giants got in. I mean, not luckily, you know that San Francisco handed them the ball, you know, pretty much like too many times. You can't do that against a good defense. But I feel like San Francisco's offense is not near good enough.
No,
like
it's
what the Ravens were.
No, it's totally different. I mean, San Francisco's offense, totally, completely different. I mean, the Giants played in New Orleans, and they got killed in that game. But everything's look, I really overall think it's going to be a very close game. I think the teams are pretty even overall. But I think there's some intangibles that I think the Patriots running game, as you said, is going, it's very underrated. And I think the front seven is going to do some damage. And I think they're going to do more damage than the Giants front seven. And people are going to be sitting there going, oh, how did that happen? Well, if you paid attention the last month, you'd see how it happened.
Yeah. So we've been playing like lights out in the playoffs, like 3 and outs that I didn't see during the season. And I'm like, I believe in this defense now.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I just wanted to say thank you for accepting my call,
and I just wanted
to ask you one more thing before I go.
Yep.
Like, what do you think about the O-line? Like, is Matt Light, do you think he'll suit up, right?
Oh, no, he's back. He's fine. He was at practice today. So,
all right. Well, he's a seasoned vet. He's got that all under control. Like,
in fact, Matt Light listed as full participation in practice today. Thanks for the call, Alberto. Appreciate it. Just got the injury report. Just came out. So here it is. Gronk did not participate in practice today. No surprise there. These guys were limited. Cannon, Chung, Fletcher, Love, Mankins, Ninkovich, Spikes, Vollmer, Welker, and White. Those guys were all limited. Full participation, Branch, Conley, Adeyebo, Light, and Slater. So Matt Light, full participation at practice today.
Did you just say James Adeyebo full participation?
Full participation.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable.
The shoulder is fixed.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. is the number, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get in touch with me. And also, Facebook. Maybe a couple of Facebook messages as well. So overall, pretty good injury report for the Patriots. I don't have the Giants one yet, but we'll hopefully that'll come out shortly. Just refresh my Facebook page here. Kathleen says, Roethlisberger came back from his high ankle sprain, played a good deal in the Pro Bowl. It was 3 weeks from the Denver game, not the original injury, but still. She also says, it's been noted that history has shown when Brady has a lousy game, he comes back and plays off the charts in the next one. Yep. No question about that, Kathleen. We've talked about that many times. Thomas says, hey, Pete, greetings from the Joint Base, Lewis McCord in Washington. Listening to your show, and you're talking about Edelman being as how he contributes in all aspects of the game. Isn't he an MVP candidate? If he was, he'd attach a touchdown and an interception in the same game. I think you'd have to give it to him. Thomas, first of all, thank you for your service. And, yes, I agree. I would love to see that happen. I really would love to see that happen. How about this? Now, how about this for a fantasy for a Patriots fans? You ready for this? How about Edelman pulls a David Patton back in 2001? How about Edelman on some kind of an option or freaky play? Edelman, Wildcat formation, something. Throws for a touchdown, returns a punt return for a touchdown, and a pick six for a touchdown. How sick would that be?
Didn't David Patton, what, he caught one, threw one, and threw one.
Yeah, he was all on offense. But I'm saying, what if Edelman had three touchdowns in all three phases of the game?
He'd be like the all-time Super Bowl
How
MVP.
Sick would that be?
That would be unbelievable.
If he threw for a touchdown, ran a punt return back for a touchdown, and did a pick six, that would be unbelievable if that ever happened. It really would. Let's see. Nick and Victoria. Unfortunately, Tyrone, you have something to lose by throwing 85 the ball. It's called the Super Bowl. You can't just start getting 85 involved now because it's the last game. You feel $4 million has been wasted. Actually, $6 million this season. Suck it up. It's not our money. Oh, well, he didn't work. Four others did. Yeah, and that's kind of the way I feel. I mean, it's not going to be a sentimental roster spot for Chad Ochocinco. If he plays in this game, it's good because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are confident that he's going to be able to help this offense. No sentimentality here. The same thing with Kevin Falk. And I still think Falk may play, and I'm still not sure Ochocinco is going to dress. I just don't know why. I just have that feeling. I could be wrong, but we'll find out in a couple of days.
I'm not really into solving the world's problems.
Sterling says, P2 questions. Is there anything the Patriots can take away from the Giants' two losses against the Redskins and Seahawks this year? No. Two, has all the trash talking from the Giants got back to the Pats? Yeah, of course it has. You know, they're not going to respond to it. No, I think the Redskins, the two losses to the Redskins and Seahawks and a lot of other things, a lot of other losses this year they've had. They've had seven. So, no, I just don't. I think it's about how the teams are playing now. So I'm trying to be fair. Nope, I think the Washington games, the Seattle game for them, you just totally obsolete. Doesn't matter. But the same thing if somebody brought up the Pittsburgh game for the Patriots. This team right now is completely different than it was on October 30th. Completely different. Kyle says, hey, Pete, did you hear the NFL fined OC $20K for not showing on Media Day? Classic. Yeah, I agree. He released a statement. No, that was for not Media Day. It was for today. And he released a statement saying he's sorry he had the time schedule messed up, which is just a crock of crap.
It's an expensive mix-up right there.
Yep. Let's see. Who's this from? Murph says, Brady, 140-40 as a starter, averages 14-4 per season. No other 14-4 per season. Well, there's only 16 games in the season, but all right, maybe clean playoffs. No other quarterback's ever been 100 games over 500. Brady's got a regular season winning percentage of 78%. Staubach, 74%. Joe Montana, 71%. Roethlisberger, 71%. Peyton Manning, 150-77, including playoffs. Bradshaw, 121-55. Montana, 133-54. Staubach, 96-36. He's tied with Montana with 16 playoff wins and needs one more Super Bowl to match Montana. 336-134 touchdown interception. No other quarterback has a ratio that good. Aaron Rodgers is now 147-42. Brett Favre threw 336 picks in the regular season. Well, we all know that. Most overrated superstar in the history of the game. Dan Marino was 420-252. Peyton Manning, 399-198. Joe Montana, 273-199. Calling Brady overrated is about as intelligent as the majority reporting that has been made thus far in this game. It's just reporters and news agencies looking to play the most provocative angle they possibly can to piss people off and get people reading and watching their garbage. Yep, you're absolutely right. Totally agree. Totally agree with that. It's just too bad it has to be that way. Let's get back to the phones here on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's Russ and Westfield up next here with Pete. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Very good. Thanks. Love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about was I was at the Giants game when we played that goal line stance when Tracy Roy did not jam Ballard and got a free release on the square out when they got a touchdown. And no one asked Belichick after, and you know, I thought he should have jammed him. Now, it's on the 2-yard line in the goal line. You can jam him for 5 yards, right? So that's almost right to the back of the end zone.
So you know what the problem? You know what the problem is? Yeah, you can. The problem with that play is I was screaming so loudly at Sergio Brown for that dumbass pass interference call that put the ball down there that it happened so quickly. You know, most people didn't even know Tracy White was guarding him. But when you go back, and when I watched it back in November, I mean, you could see you're absolutely right. He should have jammed. It was a bad play. I think the Patriots were pissed about the penalty. You know, down at the 1-yard line. But you're right. He could have jammed him. And trust me, I don't think you're going to see Tracy White on Ballard this time around.
No, I don't think so.
But you're right.
Here's my prediction: Patriots 29, Giants 23.
No, that sounds about right. That sounds good. I think it's going to be within a 1-score game, although I got to tell you, the way the national media is crapping all over this team, I've seen the song and dance before, and like I've said, when it seems like the whole world is lining up against them, this team comes out and usually kicks ass by at least 2 touchdowns. So I don't know. I might change my pick because I'm so aggravated by what I'm hearing and they're being so disrespected in so many areas. But I agree with you. I think, right now, I have the Patriots like 34-28, something like that. But that may change tomorrow. I have to wait and see how I feel in the morning when I wake up.
Yeah, what else I feel good about is Brady never has back-to-back bad games. He's got darts in his eyes. He's going to be on fire. And watch out for Wex Welker, who's going to be the MVP, Wes Welker.
Well, he could be. He could be. There's a lot of candidates that could be MVP. But certainly he had a big game against the Giants back in November. Not that means a whole lot. But he had 136 yards in that game. And Gronk had 101 yards in that game. So, it should be a highly competitive game. I just think the Patriots' front seven is going to do more damage than the Giants' front seven. As crazy as some people may think that sounds, they haven't been paying attention to this team the last month. It's not the same defense it was a while ago.
Hey, real quick, Pete. Yep. They had I heard Bill Romanowski on the radio today, and he was giving some tips because if you ever read his book, man, he did everything. You know,
I've read it.
Black sheep shells and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I've read it and so, I've interviewed him. Yep, I know.
But he mentioned like an HBO chamber, hyperbaric oxygen chamber, which I think does good. I don't know if they're doing that to him. And he mentioned some other techniques. I mean, I don't know how high tech it is. He said about 10 years from now, these teams are going to be doing what he's saying. Now, I don't think he's a whack job. I really think he knows what he's doing. He's played for 14 years with all those injuries. And he said he had a high ankle sprain when he's at Boston College. And it is tough even in 2 weeks. But I'm wondering what kind of techniques do they have?
Well, again, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's in a hyperbaric chamber or anything like that this week. And again, we don't know. I haven't seen an X-ray, and no one has seen an X-ray or seen an MRI done. So I don't know how severe it is. All you do is hear rumors and speculation, and that he's going to need surgery at the end of the season, and probably half the guys in that team are going to need surgery at the end of the season. We just have to wait and see. I just think he's my pick for the MVP, and I think he's going to go out and play pretty well, and he's going to make some plays. And if what happens to him happens to Preeny, or it stiffens up at halftime and they can't inject him again, you know, so be it. I'll be the first one to come on here and say I was dead wrong. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be out there. He's going to be effective, and I think the Giants are going to be in a whole heap of trouble.
One last quick thing, too, on the referee crews. I really never take this into consideration, and I know Belichick knows all the crews, and some call it tight, some let a lot more loose. I thought in the Baltimore game we got away with a nice pass interference early, and then the refs beat their whistles, and we got a lot of pass interference calls that weren't called on us. So do you know who the officiating crew is?
I know. I was just looking it up, but I know it's someone who has not officiated a Patriot game this year. Who is it, Matt, his name?
The referee will be John Perry.
Yeah, he has not reffed a Patriot game this year.
The umpire will be Carl Paganelli, Tom Stable, the head linesman. The line judge is Gary Arthur. Field judge, Gary Cavaletto. side judge Laird Hayes and back judge Tony Sterator.
Yeah.
And we went over this in Playbook. It's a crew that's kind of an all-star crew. This isn't a normal crew.
Yeah, it was mismatched. I just thought you should take just the best crew as a team.
Well, you saw...
They work with each other rather than an all-star crew.
Well, like I said, you can say, and nobody's even still not even talking about it, but that play when Torrey Smith dragged McCourty 5 yards into the end zone on that by his helmet, by his face mask, dragged him in. I know it wasn't intentional, but it doesn't matter. He dragged him 5 yards into the end zone by his face mask, and it wasn't called because all the side judge was doing was looking at the end zone. That should have been a 15-yard penalty against Baltimore, and the touchdown should not have counted. And that was as obvious a face mask penalty as you can ever see in the NFL, and they completely missed it.
Well, I'm sure you saw the game before, Pete. There was a lot of defensive holding on the Ravens, way beyond the 5 yards, and they just never called it.
Well, they called a couple early, they called that one early it got me talking like my Nina Weckler, on Welker.
And then they didn't call anything else. That was it.
Yeah. All right, Russ, thanks for the call, my friend. Call back soon. Thanks for checking in. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. It is the legendary Patriots.com caller, Tiff in Wisconsin. Hi, Tiff.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Hi, Tiff. How are you?
You know who has me nervous is Belichick. His attitude is so...
Well, he's like Rodney Dangerfield up there this week. No, I think it's a good thing, Tiff, because I think if you hear a lot of
he's
the players,
scaring me.
No, I
he's
think
scaring
if you hear,
me.
No, it should make you feel better because I think a lot of the players, I think even last year said they came in a little too stiff, and maybe a little bit too uptight. I think Bill is trying to make them feel relaxed, and he's been pretty good. I mean, for Bill, he's been Don Rickles this week, so.
Yeah,
I would think if you ask most of the players, I think it's a good thing, and it makes everybody else feel more comfortable and relaxed.
Mm-hmm. I have another. I don't know if you noticing the listening to the New York media about. I mean, trashing our quarterback,
sure,
and Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. and can't understand why we're favored by two. Is it 2 points or
two and
something
a,
like
now
that?
It's two and a half. It was 3.5. It was three. Now it's 2.5. And, it could go back up to three. The Patriots could be favored by four. It doesn't matter. The Giants could be knock it down to two. Depends on what the late money comes in on. It's all about balancing the books in Vegas. So that kind of stuff is so – it's basically a pick'em game, which I think is where it should be.
Yeah.
But I just think there's too many people underestimating the Patriot front seven, not giving them any credit at all. Except for Wolf Ork, and they are not giving our running game any credit. And I'm telling you, those are going to be the two big differences in this game. The Giants are going to be, I told you, my stat of the game is the Patriots will have more sacks in this game than the Giants do.
Did you see on Sunday when the NFL team had, I think, Tom Jackson, Chris Carter, they're like still laughing at our defense. Well, they beat, the Broncos. Well, the Broncos beat that vaunted Steelers defense.
Oh, I know.
So that no one brings that up.
Oh, Tiffany, no one's brought up either what I'm saying. If you go back and listen to what these knuckleheads said about the Denver defense when Tebow and company, mostly Prater in the defense, were winning 7 out of 8 games, all of a sudden the Broncos defense was, they're up and coming. They're playing really well. I even heard great by some people. But the Patriots whacked them out there by 18, and then they beat them by 35 here. All of a sudden, the hypocrisy sets in. And what was a very good defense to borderline great now sucks because it's the Patriots that done it. And I promise you, had any other team done the same thing, the reaction would not have been the same. That's the stuff that aggravates me more than anything.
I agree. And one more thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe the Giants would have been able to beat the Ravens. I don't think they would have been able to beat the Ravens if it were – the Ravens and the Giants in that last game. I think that the Ravens had the better defense than the 49ers and made more mistakes.
Well, here's the one thing. I don't think the Giants' offensive line is anywhere near what the Patriots is, and I think that the Baltimore defense would have absolutely gotten to them. But the Patriots have, in my opinion, the best offensive line and the most depth in football. That's why they're able to handle Baltimore's defense for the most part. And I think the Giants are. I don't think they were as good as Baltimore on defense. I mean, they got some players.
Everybody's underestimating our offensive line. I mean, I didn't hear not a name being called.
One time, he knocked down a pass from Brady, And but I
that
mean
that was the one.
Yep.
And he was in on the tackle.
He was in that on the tackle. It. You're right. And Suggs got pancaked by Gronkowski early on. I mean, he got leveled.
Yep.
And you didn't hear a lot from him either.
Yeah.
So,
and then I went back, and I told you I didn't really watch the game. I went back, I watched the game three times.
Nice.
I thought Tom played a good game.
I
thought that the two picks were good plays. I mean, one went up, and they made a good play on the ball. I mean, I thought he played a really good game.
Yeah, I mean the second pick, I didn't really agree with. I didn't really like the play call during that time. It was a great play by Baltimore's defense.
It was a good play by Baltimore.
But you're right.
And then that second one, yeah, I thought that was stupid. That was the one mistake. But the other one, I thought that was a good play.
Yeah, it was Webb that made it. You did Webb
on their part.
Yep.
And it was our mistake.
But you're right. Tom played a much better game. He didn't suck, like he said. He made some great throws in that game, especially on third down. He made a lot of tough throws. And his receivers made some really tough catches.
He was down on himself because he couldn't get that first down at the end. I think that's probably what it was.
Yeah, well, that was part of it. And the fact that, you know, he's always very hard on himself anyway. And that's why, that's the other part. The Giants, I hope, are taking into consideration about him not, you know, he's going to be a beast on Sunday. He really is. And I think the Giants.
I can't believe we're here, though, Pete. I cannot believe it. I'm just so.
Well, I mean.
I just cannot
believe
it.
Oh, I mean, I can't say I believe
so
it, because I said in week one it'd be Patriots and Saints in the Super Bowl. Almost
yeah,
happened.
I know you believe it. I mean, you're like, I knew it all the time.
Well, no, I mean, but
I just couldn't believe it.
But every year is an adventure. I mean, they got here a lot different. But I knew, I said it after the Giants lost. I looked at the schedule. I looked at, you know, injuries and possible people coming back. And that's why I said I don't think they're going to lose another game the rest of the year. You know, I don't say that stuff lightly. And I know people like to say that because it's easy. But, I mean, I looked at the schedule. I looked at the injuries that they were suffering. I knew they didn't have to rush a lot of people back because there are some teams that they should have been able to beat all those teams. And they did. And they haven't lost since. And I don't think they're going to lose on Sunday. So
here's my prediction. I predict that Julian Edelman will have a pick. I believe he'll be picked on. I believe that Bill is getting him prepared like he always does. You know, they don't believe in you. They're going to pick on you. I think that Bill is the best at preparing his underdog. So I look for Julian Edelman to have a big game. I also look for Chad to maybe have a good game. So.
Who? Chad?
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
Wow. I hope you're right. I don't even know if he's going to dress, Tiff. But I know if he does dress, it's like I said, it's not going to be for sentimental reasons. It'll be because Bill and Tom believe he can help that offense in that game, but it's not going to be because, he's a seasoned veteran and Bill likes him. Belichick is not going to take chances in the Super Bowl by dressing guys for sentimental reasons. It's just not going to happen, but I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right about Chad, but I know I'm right about, I look for Julian Edelman to have a good game. Like, he has heart. He plays with heart. He plays aggressively, and I think that's what, I think he'll be good on Sunday. I really do.
Tiff, I'm with you. We'll call back tomorrow if you want.
All right. Take care now.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot, Tiff. Thanks a lot. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. Man, it flew by today. Thanks to all the callers. And, my God, I apologize for not getting to some of the emails and some of the Facebook messages. I'm trying my best in 2 hours.
The phone lines all day. That's what we like to hear. One more chance for him tomorrow.
Yep. And tomorrow, we're working on some kind of guest tomorrow or something. But I don't even care. You know, I'd rather hear from you guys out there.
Ken Palmer, the Giant Insider, will be calling in tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Giant Insider. Okay. Very good. From Giants.com?
I believe the site is called TheGiantInsider.com.
Oh, the Giants? Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. And we'll look forward to you guys, all my friends here on Patriots.com. And thanks again so much for listening and chatting and calling in and Facebooking me. And we'll do it all again tomorrow between 4 and 6. One quick note. I've had, because I did this before the Baltimore game, the Friday before, I've gotten so many requests to do an Xbox simulation. And like I said, I do it 15-minute quarters. I will have all the real stats, up-to-date stats, the players, all that stuff. I'm going to do it Friday for you on Facebook. And I'll kind of, I can't tell you, like 100 people private text me about, please do it. I'm at work. It's entertaining. Because I do the play-by-play as it's happening. So we'll do it on Friday. What else I got? I got nothing else to do Friday. I'll play some online poker and do that for you during that time. But I'll have my official prediction tomorrow. And I'm seriously considering changing it from what it is now because the national media has been brainwashing people all week long, except for me. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to put up with it. But look at the official picks tomorrow. We'll get Matt's pick as well. And all your predictions on the Pete Shepherd Show at Patriots.com starting at 4 o'clock. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com radio.